I run first, but as I get closer and closer, my steps drop off to a walk, then a slow, rhythmic thud, thud, thud of each individual step on the hard floor. I come to a complete stop at the row. I stare at their numbered doors, 40 and 41. And then I run to the doors. I fall to my knees, and my hands are uplifted, one on each door. And I'm sure it looks as if I'm in rapturous praise of something holy. But all that's inside me is a scream ricocheting around my hollow body. For a long while, I stay on my knees like that, with my arms up and my head down. I just want to see them. That's all, I tell myself. That's all. I stand. I wrap my hands around the handle of the door labeled 40, and I shut my eyes and grip the handle and pull it open. Without looking at the block of ice exposed, I spin on my heels and jerk open number 41, too. There they are. My parents. Or, well, at least their bodies are there. Under the blue-flecked ice. The room is cold, so cold, and I shiver. My arms prickle with goosebumps. The glass coffins are cold and dry. My fingertips skid across the top as I run my hands over my mother's face. I need you, I whisper. My breath fogs the glass. I wipe it away, a sheen of wet sparkling on my palm. I squat, my face parallel to hers. I need you, I say. It's so strange here, and I don't understand any of them, and I'm scared. I need you. I need you. But she is ice. I spin to Daddy. Through the ice, I can see the stiff bristles of his beard. When I was little, he'd rub his face against my bare stomach, and I'd scream in glee. I'd give anything to feel that now. I'd give anything to feel anything but cold. The glass is fogged, and the ice isn't crystal clear, but I can see where Daddy's hand is. I rub my pinky against the cold glass, pretending that his finger will wrap around mine in a promise. I don't realize I'm crying until the tears splash on the coffin. Daddy, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get up, Daddy. They were too strong. And if it wasn't for Harley, my voice cracks. Daddy, you said you'd protect me. You said you'd always be there for me. I need you now, Daddy. I need you. I pound my fist against the cold, hard glass surrounding the ice. My hands crack and bleed, smearing crimson across the glass. I need you, I scream. I want to break through the glass to rub life back into his bristly, bearded face. My body falls limp. I curl up under their cold, lifeless forms, draw my knees to my chest, sob dry, empty sobs, and scrabble to fill my lungs with air that is too thin and weak. One giant droplet of condensation slips off the glass and plops onto my cheek. I rub it, and the warmth of my hands brings life back to me. It doesn't have to be like this. I may be awake, and it may be impossible to put me back inside a cryo chamber, but that doesn't mean I can't see my parents. I stand. This time, I don't look for my parents' faces in the ice. This time, my eyes seek out the tiny black box at their heads, the one with the blinking green light, the one with the switch under the cover. It can't be that hard. Flip the switch. That's all I have to do. I will stand here and wait. I will pull them from the box when it melts so that it won't drown them. I will help them climb out of their coffins. I will wrap them with towels, and I will hug them, and they will hug me. Daddy will whisper, "Everything will be okay now." And Mom will whisper, "We love you very much." "They're essential," a small voice whispers in my mind. I see the row of flags on the bottom of the door, the symbol for the FRX, the Financial Resource Exchange. They are a part of a mission that's greater than me. Mom's a genetic splicer, a biological genius. Who knows what life we'll see on this new world? She's needed. But Daddy, he's with the military, that's all. He's a field analyst. He's sixth in command. Let the five in front of him be essential, not him. They can take care of the new world. Daddy can take care of me. I'm the failsafe. I can hear Daddy's strong, proud voice in my mind, just like the day he told me we'd be a happy, frozen family. Wasn't I excited? That's my mission. If anything goes wrong, I'll be there. A glorified backup plan. They needed him in case something went wrong. But what if nothing went wrong? If I leave them mom, maybe they won't mind that I take daddy back. He's not really needed. My hand is already on the box over daddy's head. I run my finger across the biometric scanner at the top. The light blinks yellow. Access denied. I don't have high security clearance. I'm not important enough to be able to open up the box and flip the switch and wake daddy up. But I can smash it. The whole idea plays out in my mind. My eyes wild and my hair swinging as I beat the box with my fists until it shatters and I can press the button and melt daddy. It's such a ridiculous image that I laugh. A high-pitched, hysterical laugh that breaks with a dry sob. I can't wake up daddy. He's needed. I know he is, even if I don't want to admit it. I'm proof enough that he's needed. They wouldn't have let me come if he weren't. He and Mom knew what it meant when they signed up for the ship. I remember that first day. They were both willing to say goodbye to me so they could be on this ship. Daddy had already arranged it so that I could walk away from them. When he hugged me before he was frozen, he was hugging me goodbye. He never expected to see me again. He didn't even pack me a trunk. He gave me up so that he could wake up on another planet. I can't take his dream away. If he can say goodbye to me, I can say goodbye to him. Besides, I'm not so selfish as not to remember my status. I was the non-essential one, not them. If food won't grow or animals won't live, Mom will make it happen. If there's a bunch of evil aliens already on the new planet, Daddy will take care of them. Either way, they're the difference between a whole planet of people living and a whole planet of people dying. I can't take them away from that. I can't kill their dreams, and I can't kill the future inhabitants of the planet I won't reach until I'm older than them. I can wait. I can wait 50 years until I see them again. I slide their trays back into their cryo chambers and push the doors shut, then head silently back to the elevator in my lonely room. I can wait.